that's the perfect music to lead into my next guest. Her name is Mandy Smith. She has spent the last decade and a half flying over your head as a flight attendant for Virgin Airlines. And she's written about her experiences both in the air and on the ground in a book called Cabin Fever, The Sizzling Secrets of a Virgin Airlines Flight Attendant. It's out now in paperback. Mandy Smith, welcome to the Big 550.
Thank you. Hello, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing wonderfully. Thank you. Sizzling secrets is the important phrase in the title of the book, Cabin Fever, The Sizzling Secrets of a Virgin Airlines Flight Attendant. If this were written by a flight attendant for Southwest or United or American, would it be as sizzling, or is there something about Virgin Airlines that makes it sizzling?
Oh, I think that's a really good question, actually. It's I think Virgin is one of those companies that attracts an innovative, kind of vibrant person to work there. So I don't know if I would have gone to work for any of the other airlines, if I'm honest. But it was a good, fun place to work. And it definitely suited my personality.
By reading the book, the two words party image come up. Is that an interior thing inside Virgin, or is that what you want the world to think of Virgin as?
I guess you can't help but think of that when you think of Virgin, as Richard's quite a dominant character, isn't he? And he does kind of promote that image. But it really is that kind of place, and it's a family, you know, family atmosphere, but the it's just such a relaxed place to work, and everyone has so much fun that we do tend to have parties and lots of them.
All right, let's get into some specifics of the actual job. Who is more demanding, a coach passenger, a business class passenger, or a first class passenger?
The ones in the middle. We call them premium economy at Virgin. So yeah, the ones in the middle, because they're not the people in upper class or first class at another airline. They tend to fly all the time, and they probably fly more than the flight attendants, if I'm honest. So they just tend to want to get on board and go to bed because they've got little flat seats up there, or big flat seats. And they're no bother. And you've got the families down the back who just want to go on holiday, and they're quite concerned about what little Johnny's got for his dinner and that kind of thing. But the people in the middle they want to sit up the front, but you know they're stuck in the middle. But they're quite demanding, most demanding of the three, I would say.
Are they demanding because they used to be coach people, but they use their frequent flyer miles to move up, and this is a big day for them, and they want to get everything they can out of it?
Possibly, yes. I do find that people, when people are upgraded, they usually want to test everything and try everything. But then don't we all, when we get into a new situation? I know myself, whenever there's a new menu on board, I used to try everything. You know, that's just human nature, isn't it? But it's not a bad thing. It's just one of those things that people expect a little bit more for their money, and we usually give it.
I knew I felt that way when I went to Europe in business class last year with my miles, and I felt like, oh, okay, what else can I get?
It is a little bit like that, and you know, when you pay that much money for a flight, and you compare it with, you know, when you put it into perspective of the fact that you could have actually bought a car with the price of an upper class seat, you know, £8,000 to go to New York from England is a lot of money.
Yep. So what kind?
Yeah, you can understand why they want more for their money, I guess.
Yeah. So tell me a story of a passenger or two who became overly demanding, particularly a premium economy class person.
Oh dear. I would say that it happens so often that I couldn't really put my finger on one, but there's so many. Some people tend to drink a little bit too much, and I think this particular person was the mother of an A-class celebrity, so I won't name names. But he'd obviously paid for her to be in the premium economy section, so he was up the front. And when we greet people, we say, "Can I take your coat, sir?" or "Can I take your coat, madam?" We don't expect people to throw it in our face, which this lady did. Mm-hmm. And, you know, snapping fingers and the whole prodding people, that's not really acceptable. When somebody's there to try and serve you and look after you, as we do, it's not really the done thing to push it in their face, really. I had a fur coat thrown at me, and it wasn't very nice.
Yeah, she's probably upset because she's flying premium and the kid is flying in first class.
Yeah, I don't think they get on. That's more to the point. It wasn't anything to do with the fact that he probably wouldn't pay for us to be up there. He probably didn't want to sit next to him.
Yeah. Mandy, you've got a story in the book about you joining the Mile High Club in a Cessna, which I'm not going to get into here because listeners can read it, and there are excerpts of it available online, and they can find out all the juicy details if they like. But I'm curious about whether you've ever found passengers trying to join the Mile High Club on board a Virgin aircraft.
Yes, once or twice. And we're very discreet about it, and we would always knock on the door and say, you know, we know what you're doing. Can you please stop? Because there's children on board, and, you know, we don't really want to, because I wouldn't really barge in there, although we can. We have access panels so we can get into the doors in case of accidents and things. But you wouldn't really use them in this situation because you would rather people come out with their clothes on, not open open the doors and expose them in flagrante, I guess.
Yeah, I am 6'4". I barely fit into an airline bathroom by myself. I have no idea how two people do it.
No, that's the same size as my husband now. He's 6'4" and about 4 foot wide. he struggles too. But it's just one of those things, I guess. I was a lot thinner back in the day. So in the Cessna, my ex was a little bit thinner as well. I was with my ex for about 7 years, and he was a pilot too. So that we managed. But I'll let the readers read the logistics of it in the book, I guess.
Yeah, okay. You know, the image of a stewardess in the years before you were called a flight attendant, when stewardess was the word, or air hostess, which Virgin still uses, right?
Yes,
yeah.
We say air.
The image of somebody in that job was, okay, you're sexy and you're sexual. And I'm guessing that if you went back to the early days of transatlantic flight, there would be a lot of male passengers hitting on the stewardess, air hostess, flight attendant. How much does that go on today?
Well, it's not as often as you think, unfortunately. When I was single, I was, you know, I thought, oh, this is good. I'm going to get out there and meet a lot more people and what have you. But unfortunately, you know, it's one of those things that people are still just people. And whether we're in the air or on the ground, it's still embarrassing to approach somebody. But I must admit, there are the odd people that get drunk and do that, because I've had it was on the way to Vegas, and one, let's call him a gentleman, was very, very drunk, and he was basically coming on to me the whole flight. And then at the end of the flight, when I was stood holding some other passengers back, and he was walking towards me, and in front of all the passengers, I was mortified. He got his business card and put it in my hand and said, call me. Everyone was just like looking at me. I was like, oh no, it's embarrassing. He was clearly very drunk.
Wouldn't your job and the job of every flight attendant be so much better if there were no alcohol on board?
I think you're probably right there. Alcohol causes so many issues. And of course, because people use sleeping tablets a lot more now because of the longer flight times.
Yeah.
So the two really don't go good. They don't go well together, and they don't mix. But unfortunately, people do both of them together, which is where the problems lie, I think.
Yeah, speaking of problems, have you ever had a passenger go crazy and try to open the door in mid-flight or anything like that?
Oh, not open the door, but I've definitely had people go crazy. Oh, so many. I think the confined space definitely does affect certain people in certain ways, but the one passenger I could think of on the way back from Barbados, he was an elderly gentleman, and he'd completely gone wet, wild, and wacky. So we were concerned that he looked like he had, you know, like a diabetes sweat on, you know, like when some people go really white and pale and plastic looking.
Mm-hmm.
So we were really concerned for him medically, because obviously we're medically trained. But he was going around hitting everyone and basically beating up everyone, so we needed to restrain him in the end. But he was going on for hours and hours, and this lasted for the full 8 hours of the transatlantic
Holy
flight.
So cow.
it couldn't have been a diabetic fit, because he would have worn himself out before then, you know.
And
but yeah, he was. We'd restrained him to the seat, and because he was an elderly gentleman, we were kind to him and we restrained his arms at the front, which we wouldn't normally do. But unfortunately, he managed to get a lighter out of his pocket and try to set light to his seat as well. He was completely nuts.
Wow. Are there other people on board who can help you? Security people? Is there such a thing as an air marshal on an overseas flight?
We did have some of those initially after 9/11, but the cabin crew are SAS trained, so we know how to handle these people. It's just that we'd given this gentleman a little bit too much leeway because he was an elderly gentleman, and he'd taken advantage of that, I think. So we learned our lessons from that. We wouldn't do that again.
Wow. And speaking of struggles with passengers, what about these people who are insistent on bringing on their entire wardrobe and putting it in the overhead compartment?
Oh, dear. I know people do that quite a lot. And I understand some airlines cost a lot of money to take the excess baggage and what have you. But it's the ground staff's fault, really, because they should be a bit more vigilant at letting them on. It's not, you know, passengers are going to try and get away with what they can, as people do. It's human nature, isn't it? But the ground staff are supposed to keep an eye on that, really. They're not supposed to let them on with the larger bags.
But also,
we try not to let them on.
The airlines are partially to blame because they have all these checked baggage fees now, and people want to avoid those, and so they take them in the cabin, right?
Yeah, this is exactly it. But I think the airlines at the moment, they're trying to excuse the costs of flying. So when you see all the different costs for excess baggage, that is basically the airlines breaking down the costs of how much it costs them to transport your luggage. So that in defense of the airline, if they patched that all together and made it a larger cost for the whole, like as a package, you probably wouldn't even know what that was for, so you could take as much baggage on as you wanted. But to break it down so that so that people in general can see how much they're paying for certain things, it gives you an option now, so you can either pay that or you don't pay that.
Yeah, gotcha. All right, my last question for you, Mandy. When you fly as a passenger, not in your official capacity, but you're flying somewhere,
yep,
whether it's on vacation or whatever, how often do you sit there in your seat and roll your eyes at what the flight attendants are doing wrong?
I guess sometimes you would only roll your eyes at somebody if you think, oh, why have you done that, you know, and it's not a legal requirement that they do something, but they're forcing somebody to move something, and I think, oh, you're just making your life harder by doing that. I used to be a little bit more lenient with my passengers as long as everyone was safe, you know.
Yeah, if you just sit down and be quiet, we'll get you where you're going and we'll all have a nice day.
Exactly. As long as everyone's nice to each other, nice and fluffy life, that's what we really like.
Yeah, and you guys keep your hands off my butt.
Yeah, definitely. That's definitely one thing that's not for sale in duty-free.
The book is called Cabin Fever, The Sizzling Secrets of a Virgin Airlines Flight Attendant. Mandy Smith, such a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you for having me. Bye.
I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.